For better or for worse, hopefully for better, we have commenced this holy season, this penitential season of Lent. And of course we do so with the ancient ceremony that goes back to the Old Testament, that we are sprinkled with ashes. Ashes which represent sorrow for our sins, repentance of our sins, and a desire to change, to improve, and to become transformed by the grace of God. And of course, this is why, on this day, those who receive the ashes, they do not necessarily need to be already full members of the church, Catholics, baptized, and so forth. They do not need to be perfectly in the state of grace, as we all should be all the time, but we are sometimes not. Because the church hopes and prays that the sacramental and the ashes, the holy ashes, are a sacramental. They're not a sacrament. They're not like baptism or confirmation or communion or ordination or marriage. They are a sacramental. They symbolize that we are sorry for our sins. But they do not make us sorry for our sins. We, it is, who must make ourselves sorry for our sins. St. Gregory the Great and St. Augustine, commenting on these readings and these ceremonies, speak of the fact that there are some, and of course, I think all of us have met some, that are very proud and wish to show off the fact that they are holy. Now, if anyone thinks that he or she is holy, that's the first thing, the first step in seeing that they are not holy. And so, they tell us, do not be like that. And the gospel too says it. That's why we have a gospel that seems to be totally contrary to that which we are doing. We are sprinkling ourselves, or being sprinkled by me, and when there are other priests and bishops and so forth, by them, with ashes. Ashes of burnt palms from last year's Palm Sunday. And all holy things must either be buried or burnt. Palms, in particular, need to be burnt. And so we are sprinkled with this to symbolize our sorrow. But in many ways, it's like saying, well, look at me. I went to Mass this morning. Now, of course, that's another good reason why having Mass in the evening. Somebody called last week here and was insulted that we do not have a Mass in the morning. Well, we used to, and nobody came. And so I said, no, I can only do so much. So it will be in the evening. And, of course, we have a good-sized crowd for this. That better be God, or the angel of death coming to get you, whoever it is. Patience, Lord. Penance comes in so many ways, small and big, right and left, front and back. And of course, so they were insulted that we did not have a Mass in the morning, and the reason was, I work for a very prestigious insurance company, and I wanted everybody to see my ashes. You know, it's not like this person, it was a woman, by the way. Eve was a woman, too. It wasn't like she was handing out catechisms, the catechism of the Council of Trent, or the Baltimore Catechism at her office, where the prestigious insurance company, who were probably stealing everybody in Pensacola blind. It wasn't that. She just wanted everybody to see her ashes. I hope and pray that that person will convert, because that person has the wrong attitude, the wrong message. The ashes are supposed to signify a repentance. And of course, we have this holy season of Lent, 40 days. Quadragesima is called. 40 days of Lent. We already started 3 weeks ago with Septuagesima in order to repent. And of course, here in this shrine, where you may receive many, many indulgences before, more than you can possibly imagine, we have many occasions for graces and for blessings. The masses and the rosaries, the benedictions and holy hours on Thursdays of Lent, the stations of the cross and benediction on Fridays of Lent, and the prayers that we say at the stations of the cross. If one is in the state of grace, give us a plenary indulgence, especially the prayer at the foot of the crucifix. But there are so many, many occasions that we can grow in grace. And this is what we need to focus on. This is what we need to do. And of course, if you ladies or anybody else wish to gain some extra indulgences, we're definitely going to have to vacuum the church and vacuum the communion rail so you can get extra indulgences. So take the hint, because it's all over the place. I put a lot of holy water in them, but they want it to be all over you and all over everybody. And so it is a symbol of our repentance. Repentance for our sins. And even the smallest venial sin is a great offense against God. Now, of course, mortal sins, and of course, you can read my book if you want to find out which ones. I'd rather not talk about that now. Mortal sins need to be repented, or else if you die with those mortal sins, you will not go to heaven. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's not my sentence upon you. It is the church's sentence upon you and the Lord's sentence upon you. So we must avoid sin. That's the first thing. And then we need to do good things for God, for the church, for each other. And when, of course, when I say the church, I'm not talking about this parish or this shrine only. I'm talking about the entire church. And as I said Sunday, if the world and the church are in such dismal condition, it is your fault. You have to pray more. You have to kneel more, even if it hurts. It hurts me too, not as much as it did before. God is being merciful. We have to do penance. Penance means sacrifice. It means pain. It means denying ourselves, our will, our desires. And so it is through these things, with the added blessing of the ceremonies that we participate in during Lent, that I have already mentioned, that we can gain graces. Now the people of Nineveh listened to the preaching of Jonah, and they were repented. And the people at the time of Joel, the prophet that we have just heard, listened to his preaching and repented. We also need to repent in this day and age, in this parish, in this shrine, in this diocese, in the whole church. We need to repent of our sins and do the opposite, do holy things. And we need to do so in the spirit of charity and humility. So today, as we begin this holy season of Lent, let us put our hands to the task. Now, I have mentioned before, of course, little sacrifices are important too. Giving up television or the internet or those infernal little TVs, as I call them, that everybody's always... The other day I was at an office waiting for my doctor, and everybody that was there, how absolutely ridiculous. And then you see families and restaurants. And yes, I do go to restaurants. Good ones, too. In case you want to invite me, you make sure it be a good one. And everybody at this and that particular table with their little TVs, as I call them. But there's other things. And we need to make amends to God for all the evil that we have done. For all the evil that we do. In charity, in grace, and in love. So we start today. It's just the beginning. Some people think, oh, okay, I got my ashes, it's finished, it's done, I already did my duty. If you think that, you can forget it. Your ashes are going to go with you to the fires of hell where you become ashes too. But in hell, our bodies do not die, do not get consumed into ashes. They just hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt forever. You don't want to go there, and I don't want you to go there, and I will do everything possible to keep you from going there. But if you decide on your own that you want to go there, that's your choice, that's your call. God help you. And you parents, you need to do everything possible to make sure that your little ones that God has given to you do not go to hell. They need to teach them the catechism and teach them the right things. Teach them morality and teach them how to pray. In the 1950s, long before my time, of course, Venerable Father Patrick Peyton preached all over the world, not only in the United States, all over the world, the rosary. And his saying was, the family that prays together, I'm sure you remember the rest of it. And so, first of all, they stay together, but they stay together to heaven. And that is what we need to do. When I was a child, families prayed the rosary every day, every night, and not only at home, but the whole block would get together in this house or that house, and everybody said the rosary together. Of course, today, there are very few Catholics. They've all left. But if you go outside, you meet this one and that one and this one and that one. Oh, I was raised Catholic. Isn't that sad? I always say to them, well, that means that you are Catholic. Oh, no, no, I go to the Episcopal Church or the Methodist or Lutheran Church. I'll say to them, you know, you realize that once you're baptized a Catholic, you're always a Catholic. Even if you go to hell, you may be a damned Catholic, but you're going to be a Catholic still. Get back. Go to confession. Go to communion. Stop fooling around. Your life could end tonight or tomorrow night. And where are you going to go? And this is the purpose of Lent. To convert ourselves and to convert all those around us. Do not be afraid. The saints of the church, St. Stephen, beginning the first martyr of the church after Pentecost, and the many saints whom we celebrate every single day, they prefer to die than to reject Jesus Christ, our Lord, and that which he has taught us. So take the plow and never look back and go forward to heaven. If you look back, you will fall in the ravine that leads to the fires of eternal hell. May you not do that. May you not do that. I pray for each and every one of us that it will be a wonderful and holy Lent. It will entail many sufferings, many sacrifices. You don't have to worry about chocolates, though you can do that too. God will send you many penances, many sufferings. How you receive them will determine where you are going. One of the beautiful readings of this sacred liturgy, which I hope you were following on your own, reminds me of a friend of mine and another friend who told me about it. His Excellency, who should be someday soon Saint Marcel Lefebvre. And the cantor that was singing this particular reading, which was part also of the Divine Office, when he came to the words, "Canite tuba," let the horns blow, his voice it blew all apart, and even the archbishop almost fell off his throne laughing. So, "Canite tuba." And we pray that soon the church may be united once again in the most holy and sacred liturgy of the Mass, given to us from the times of the apostles and codified even more by St. Pius V at the Council of Trent. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Canite tuba.